Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy this show. This is the story of Oregon's 100-year, $2.6 million party. The Centennial Bash in 1859 was a huge event. The state had been gearing up for 3 years. And it was an interesting contrast with the Sesquicentennial event in 2009, which was quite a bit more modest. This story was first published on February 11th of 2009. It's one of the very first ones. Here we go. Starting off with an editor's note, because this was published on February 11th of 2009, it'll make some references here and there to things that are happening, for instance, this Saturday or this year. That's all this year as in 2009. It's been a few years since then. Back to the story. This coming Saturday, the state of Oregon will celebrate its sesquicentennial. It will have been precisely 150 years since Oregon officially became a state in a hasty effort to settle the question of whether slaves would be allowed here on the eve of the Civil War. But surprisingly little is being planned to commemorate it. In fact, many people around the state don't even know it's happening this week on Valentine's Day. 50 years ago, though, on the eve of the state's centennial, it was not like that, not at all. The upcoming centennial was impossible to ignore. Folks had been gearing up for it for years. On the big day, President Dwight Eisenhower made a proclamation. Vice President Richard Nixon appeared with Oregon Governor Mark Hatfield at the state capitol, which was dusted with a surprise late-season snow, and had a 19-gun salute fired in his honor with 105-millimeter howitzers. The ceremonies were opened by the Oregon Symphony. Members of the National Guard stood at attention. It was a very big deal. But that's not why almost everybody in the state knew what February 14th, 1959 meant. At a grand centennial ball in Salem, the movers and shakers of the state gathered for a Tony party, replete with a cake shaped like the state capitol building, with pictures of a bridge, power lines, and log truck in the frosting. They danced, they looked fabulous, but that wasn't why most Oregonians knew what February 14th, 1959 was either. Youngsters at North Salem High School put on a pageant that would be unthinkable for a public school today, for several reasons actually, called Christianity Comes to the Oregon Territory, and featuring students playing the roles of John McLaughlin, a frontier preacher, and various settlers and, quote, flathead Indians, end quote. It was played 5 times. But that's not why almost everyone in the state knew what February 14th, 1959 meant either. The real reason the centennial was such a big deal was money. The 1955 legislature got started on these plans early. They allocated $2.6 million for the party. That's $2.6 million 1959 dollars. You can throw one humdinger of a party with $2.5 million 1959 dollars and 3.5 years in which to spend it, and boy, Oregon did. A centennial commission sprang up with members appointed by the governor. Local centennial committees formed at the town and county level, about 38 of them statewide. People got very excited about it. Part of that excitement was centennial tokens, which you still see in junk stores from time to time and in antique shops. A centennial token was about the size of a half dollar, usually bronze, but occasionally silver. You can expect to pay $5 to $10 for one of them if you find it in decent condition, and most of them were made by Northwest Specialty Sales Company. A few were commemorative with no face value, but most of them were sponsored by a local area's centennial committee and were worth 50 cents. But only if you spent or redeemed them before 3 p.m. on February 18th, 1959. This year's sesquicentennial activities will surely feel a bit light to anyone who saw the statewide party of 1959. Well, the state is quite a bit different now. Oregon was a relatively rich state in 1959. Stumpage fees for timber harvests were pouring into the state. So were income taxes from the loggers and mill workers processing them. And a few extra million dollars was easier to come by back then. Anyway, 100 years is a more momentous number than 150 in any case, so we'll probably have to wait another 50 years to see another state birthday party like that one, if we ever do. Well, that's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a series of live history shows, a daily RSS feed to catch in your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, and a couple other minor components too, YouTube channel, that kind of thing. Photographs and other visual goodies that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you will also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is an Atlas String Band track, atlasstringband.com, and it was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon history for the fun of it, and to learn things. So I don't sell advertising, and I don't ask for donations. But if you do enjoy Offbeat Oregon history and you'd like to support it, you can always pick up a copy of my book. If you enjoy the show, I can pretty much guarantee that you'll enjoy my book. It's called Wicked Portland. It's published by the History Press in 2012, and you can pick a copy up at a community bookstore near you, or you can order a signed copy from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. The book sells for $20. Finally, if you ever happen to be in Corvallis, drop me a line. We can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or you can tweet at me, @offbeatoregon. Our next show will be coming up at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.